So what we're going to do this week is I wanted to focus on this coming Parsha. So I have a little bit of a game advantage because I'm a week ahead of you guys now. And I think it's going to stay that way for a while so that the Torah portion in Israel is a week ahead of that of outside of Israel. So whereas, let's say, this week, coming week, you're going to be reading Kedoshim. I did it already this past week, so I had time to, read it through. Saw some very nice ideas, and so I wanted to share that with you, and show you some very I things I never I, things were that were bothering me that I was fortunate to come across some satisfying answers, or at least kind of a pathway. Like, you're always looking for a an approach. So let me share what was bothering me. So the Parsha Kedoshim is, first of all, Vayikra, the book of the whole book of Vayikra, of Leviticus, is in other Leviticus is translated as, or in Hebrew, it's Torah Kohanim. It's the Torah that relates to the Kohanim, to the priests. But as we continue forward in the reading of these last few parshiot, we're going to see more of things that really. Actually, they have to do with everybody in the total. It's the total. It's really addressing the totality of the Jewish people. And so, how did we get from starting out as just the priests and then shifting into this other kind of gear of really focusing on more of the general Jewish people? Okay, that's one thing. But in this parsha, it's packed. It's, I think there are 51 commandments in this one very short parsha. And when we start going through it, I was trying to look for a pattern because it seems to be all over the place. I'll just give you, let's just like look at this very quickly. And then we'll come back to like trying to make sense of it. It says, "Speak to the whole Israelite community and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, your God, Hashem, am holy.'" So we have to understand what that means. To be holy, kadoshim to you. It's a directive. God is commanding us to be kadosh. So we have to see what kadosh means. So here it translated as holy. Sometimes it's sanctified. And there might be other or specific. But we have to figure out what that means. But God is asking us, he's commanding us actually, to be holy. Fine. The next thing it goes into, it says, revere your mother and father, keep Shabbos. Then it says, don't turn to idols or make molten gods for yourself. I am Hashem, your God. Then it starts talking about, out of nowhere, like when you sacrifice an offering of well-being to God, sacrifice it so that it may be accepted on your behalf. It shall be eaten on the day you sacrifice it or on the day following, but what is left by the third day must be consumed in fire. And it should be eaten on the third day. It is an offensive thing. It will not be acceptable. And so it goes off into this whole strange talking about sacrifices. So let's look at this quickly. So you have be holy, basically honor your parents or fear your parents, keep Shabbos, don't worship idols, and then it goes off into this whole thing about your sacrifices. Okay? Then next thing it talks about is when you're harvesting, so you can't touch the corners. You have to basically do your harvesting in a way that's charitable. When you shall not pick your vineyard bare, but gather the fallen fruit of, or gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. Basically, what it means is that you have to leave them for the poor and the stranger. Okay, so we have this like, and then don't steal, don't deal deceitfully. Or falsely with one another. Don't swear falsely by my name or profane the name of your God. You shall not defraud your fellow. You shall not commit robbery. So it's like, okay, so like, how do we make sense of what's going on here? And it continues. Don't talk lashon hara. Love, don't take revenge. Love your neighbor like yourself. Don't do mixtures. Okay, so and then it just it's very all over the place. So I'm trying to figure out like what exactly is the pattern here. So there are two issues that we have to In analyzing this parsha, two things that want to understand. What does it mean when it says you should be holy? Okay, that's number one. And number two, what are the patterns? What's going on here with the patterns? Okay. So, on the first thing, let's talk about what it means when the Torah commands us to be holy. Oops. Now I can't see it, so let's see if I can get this off here. Okay. So when it says to be holy, one second, I can't get to the screen. There we go, boom. Okay, here we go. So look at this, the Ramban, Nachmanides, over here on the right, he says like this. He's quoting Rashi. Rashi understands that when the commandment comes for us to be holy, it's specifically about sexual matters. Abstain from the forbidden sexual relationships mentioned in the preceding section from other sin, because wherever you find the Torah warning to guard against immorality, you find the mention of holiness. This is Rashi's language. So Ramban Nachmanides first gives us Rashi's explanation. What does it mean to be holy? Separate yourself from things that are immoral. Right? So protect yourself from immorality. Now, the Ramban now explains, so that's Rashi, and then you have Nachmani's famous explanation. He explains, but in Torah Kohanim, I've seen it mentioned without any qualification, without any particular reference to morality, as Rashi expressed it, saying, be self-restraining. Similarly, the rabbis taught there, and ye shall sanctify yourself, and ye be holy, for I am holy. Just as I am holy, so be you holy. Just as I am pure, so be you pure. Okay, kind of an ancient English. And in my opinion, this absence does not refer only to restraint from acts of immorality, as Rashi wrote, but is rather the self-control mentioned throughout the Talmud, which confers upon those who practice it the name of Purushim, literally, who are separated from self-indulgence, as will be explained, and those who practice self-restraint. The meaning thereof is the following. The Torah has admonished us against morality and forbidden foods, but permitted sexual intercourse between man and his wife, and the eating of certain meat and wine. If so, a man of desire could consider this to be permission to be passionately addicted to sexual intercourse with his wife or many wives, and be among wine bibbers, among gluttonous eaters of flesh, and speak freely all profanities, since this prohibition has not been expressly mentioned in the Torah, and thus he will become a sordid person within the permissible realm of the Torah. Therefore, after having listed the matters which God prohibited altogether, Scripture followed them up by a general command, that we practice moderation even in matters which are permitted, such as in the following. One should minimize sexual intercourse similar to that of which the rabbis have said, so that the disciples of the sages should not be found together with their wives as often as the hens, and he should not engage in it except as required in fulfillment of the commandment thereof. He should also sanctify himself to self-restrain by using wine in small amounts, just as Scripture calls a Nazarite holy, for abstaining from wine and strong drink, and he should remember the evils which the Torah mentioned as the following, which drinking wine in the case of Noah and Lot. Similarly, he should keep himself away from impurity, even though we have not been admonished against in the Torah, similar to that which the rabbis have said, for Purushim, those who separate the clothes of the unlearned are considered as trodden upon by a Zav, etc., etc. So the point of the Ramban Nachmanides is saying is that you can have someone that can do everything 100% according to the letter of the law, and it's still, they're not getting it, they're missing the point. And that is that besides all the different, you know, commandments that were given of how we should conduct ourselves, but there's this idea of being holy, to take it up a notch, to do things, you know, in a balanced way, in a balanced and measured way. And so that would be considered what we call it. So a person should be, the way he says it, should not, or the flip side is that a person should not become a novel versus a Torah. Okay, so a person should not, you know, all of a sudden take the Torah and then use it in a way that's going to create, you know, basically a person that's a, you know, it could be a, we'll call it a slob or a, just inappropriate, because they're taking everything, using it, doing exactly what it's supposed to do, and then they're getting them, they're manipulating it to do it the wrong way. So Rashi is explaining that holiness, sanctity, is the idea of being, you know, like separated from sexual morality. That would be Rashi's explanation of be holy. And Ramban is telling us it's something else. It's more about being a refined person, taking all these things and then understanding that there's another notch that has to, taking all the laws and realizing that we have to do things within balance, that there has to be, you know, it's not just, okay, if I'm doing everything by the letter of the law, then we're missing the point, and that the directive is saying, I want you to be holy, but then if we look more closely at what the pasuk is telling us, what the verse is saying, it's saying, be holy, because I'm holy. Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Kadoshim to you, be holy, be like me. And what does that mean? So God is unique, and here's where we get to the idea of sanctified as opposed to holy, or something that is set aside. For example, when we talk about getting married, we talk at Kiddushin, is that the two people are setting them aside, they're being, this is, person is specific to this other person. And so too, the whole idea of Kedusha, of being sanctified, of holy, is to be set aside and unique. And so, therefore, this directive is, God is saying to us, I want you to be like me. And just like I am unique, I want you to be unique as well. So Rashi looks at it as somehow, I guess, applying specifically to sexual matters. And then Ramban Nachmanides expands it and says, no, it's a much wider application that basically says that we have a directive to really, again, to try to, if it's to emulate God in a sense, then it's true that God gives us many directives, many mitzvot, many commandments of how to do things properly, but then within that there's another level, which is, okay, now it's to understand the reason we're doing all of this. This whole structure is to really try to become godly, or to be like God. And so Kedoshim to you, like what Ramban is saying, is Nachman is saying is, okay, now you have to understand, it's not enough to just separate from certain things, but rather it's how we approach the entire magnus opus of the entire Torah, of the whole Torah's approach, that we need to take it and become elevated through the process. Okay, so now, one of the things, so again, so that's just the first, like, subject matter of what it means, and these are just two explanations. There are more. There's a Rabbeinu Bachai that's very, very complex. That's a whole nother class in itself, but here I just want to keep it, you know, on the top level here. Now, the question is, how do we make sense of what comes after this? The idea of the patterns that we're seeing here. So now, first things first, what I mentioned earlier is that we see in this general book, it starts out really focusing on, if we call again, the Torah's Kohanim, the Torah that refers to what applies to the priests. And it has a lot about the sacrifices. And then now we see kind of a pivot. All of a sudden, it's giving us all these different laws that apply to the entire nation. So how do we get there? So we're trying to do two ideas here. One is, how do we make sense of the structure? And two is, why all of a sudden do we see a shift from one subject matter of consulting and giving the laws to the priests and the sacrifices, and then total shift to, like, laws about morality, and Shabbos we see here, telling the truth, Lashon Hara. And so there is a pasuk here in right before the giving of the Torah. So this is Shemot Yutet. And it says, this is leading up to the revelation at Sinai. And it says, Moses went up to God. Hashem called to him from the mountain, saying, thus shall you say to the house of Jacob and declare to the children of Israel. Kosomar leves Yaakov esageh lebnei Yisrael. Atem ra'item asher asitim litzrayim. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. Ve'asa etchem al kanfei nesharim ve'avia etchem elai. How I bore you on the wings of eagles and brought you to me. So now, then, v'ata, im shamar tishmu b'koli, if you will obey me faithfully and keep my covenant, v'yisem liskula mikol amim ki li kol aret, you shall be to me, shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples. Indeed, all the earth is mine. So we're going to be a special, v'yisem liskula mikol amim, we're going to have a special relationship with God. And what is that? And you will, and v'atem tuli mamleches kohanim v'gai kadosh. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So, normally we see that we have different groups in the Jewish people. We have the Kohanim, the priests, we have the Levites, we have Yisraelim, and each one has their own specific, different jobs. But what, when we pan it out, when we take a step back, Hashem is telling us, as a people, the Jewish nation is a Mamleches Kohanim. We are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So here in this line, what it's telling us is that we as a people are Kohanim and a holy nation. When we think about it, we take a step back, we realize that that line actually is what's happening in the book of Leviticus, of Vayikra. It starts out talking about the priesthood, and then what does it do? Kedoshim Tiyu. I want you to be holy. Be holy like I'm holy. And then what happens is that in this, as we look at this context here, the next thing we're going to see, these are the words that you shall speak to the children of Israel. This is God speaking to Moses. Moshe comes, Vayava Moshe v'yikra lezikne ha'am, v'yasem lefneim es kol hadorim ha'el asher tzivo Hashem. Moshe came and summoned the elders of the people and put before them all that Hashem had commanded him. And what do they do? And all the assembled answered as one saying, all that Hashem has spoken we will do. And Moshe brought back the people's words to Hashem. And then, as we continue, what it's talking about is the preparation, 3 days getting ready for the revelation at Har Sinai. And then it's giving us description of the firework show of that event. And then what happens? We have the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments. Hashem, first commandment, I'm Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. Can't have other gods. Then, don't use my name in vain. Remember the Shabbos. And then, honor your parents. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't be jealous of others. Don't covet. And then we come to Kedoshim Tiyu. So now again, right leading up to the revelation story, you have this idea that God is giving over to Moshe to give to us. And that is God is saying to us, I want you to understand, you are special. You have a special relationship. You, the nation of Israel, have a special relationship with me. You are going to be Mamleches Kohanim, you're going to be the priestly order to the nations, and you're going to be holy. Then we go into the Ten Commandments. Now, this is, I just want to give you a graphical so you can see. This will go up. There we go. Just take a look at this for a second. So you can see the five books, right? So the five books of the Torah, you have Bereishit, Genesis, then you have Exodus. So the first set of the Ten Commandments comes here in Exodus. Then the second set comes in the fifth book in Deuteronomy, in Vayetchanan. In the middle of there, we have Kedoshim. So I saw from Rabbi Ginsburg, who's one of the major authorities actually today in Chabad. He's a brilliant Kabbalist and teacher, and so he presented this idea that what's actually happening here, we have this idea of a klal, a prat, and a klal, a general thing, followed by a more specific, then followed by the general. So it's called a klal prato klal. There are different ways that there are different tools of that are used to understand text. Sometimes there's like how things are juxtaposed to each other. Sometimes you'll see, let's say, words that are common in different subject matters that will tie the two subject matters together, gzera shava. And so you have all these different things. And one of the tools of scholarship, of understanding text, is the klal, the prat, and the klal, which is a general idea followed by a specific idea followed by a general idea. And then what we're basically, we take away from that is that what this, you want to understand the totality of this unit will say that what's in the detail is really the thing that's going to come out. That we would say that, let's say, I want to understand the general and the general. What's in the middle there, the detail, is really going to help us get the full color of what's happening. So Rabbi Ginsburg explains that that's what's happening here. That this week's parsha of Kedoshim is actually the prat, is the detail of the general of the Ten Commandments. So that in Exodus, in Yitro, when we have the Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Commandments here, that when we get to Kedoshim, it's actually the prat, it's the detail of the Ten Commandments. And then if you realize that, then all of a sudden we start to see, oh, this is kind of making sense. So here's how it would be read out. So you'd have Kedoshim to you, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokechem. So God starts out and he says, in the Ten Commandments, he says, I am Hashem, your God. So he's introducing himself as, and so then when we get to here, the first thing we see is, Kedoshim to you, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokechem, I'm Hashem, your God. Then, now the truth is it's not exactly in perfect order, but then in the subject matter itself, you start to see the pattern. The idea of Ishimova Vitiro is the idea of honoring your parents, and then the idea of Shabbos, right? So here, going back to the Ten Commandments, we see this idea of Shabbos to be followed by honoring one's parents. Then coming back here again, it actually starts to spell out more. Then we see the idea of don't worship idols. And then in the worship of God, there's going to be, now we start to see more of the detail coming through. So whereas at the beginning here, we don't have necessarily the detail of my parents, although one can say that here, the idea of what's being introduced here, and Rashi makes a point of it, that the changing of the aim, the mother to the father, in respect to fear, as opposed to in the Ten Commandments, where we see Kaved et avicha ve et imecha, is honor your father and your mother. Here, it's changing it around, and it's saying you should fear your mother and then your father. So Rashi explains, because naturally someone's going to fear the father more than the mother. And again, it's not a rule; it's not a perfect rule, but there's more of that. And so here you see the Torah will flip it around, because it's going to say where you need to be strengthened here, when it's talking about fear, I'm going to put the mother first, because naturally you'll fear the father more. And then in the flip side, when you have the idea of kabed et avicha, honoring your parents, so you'll be maybe more naturally honoring your mother as opposed to your father. So here we see the order switched around. But this idea of the detail of the Ten Commandments coming through in this week's parsha of Kedoshim, as we go further into it, we start to see it really spelled out. For example, the idea of, it just says in the Ten Commandments, don't steal. But here, you start to see like it's just completely expanded. You should not deal deceitfully or falsely with one another. Don't, now here, this is talking about don't bear false testimony. So that's within the same realm of the Ten Commandments, right? But you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God, right? So if you do that, it's what you're doing is you're profaning God's name. And then you shall not defraud your fellow. You shall not commit robbery. The wages of the laborer shall not remain with you until morning. You shall not insult the deaf or place a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am Hashem. Again, and then it continues on, and there's more and more of this detail of, let's say, for example, don't bear false testimony. So then, from that, an outgrowth of that is do not deal basely with members of your people, but lo telech rachil is really, in a sense, a rachil is a merchant. A person should not be going from one place to another bearing, negatively about others. So, taking the idea of don't bear false testimony, now an outgrowth of that is don't speak lashon hara. Don't go around speaking negatively, bringing negative things from one place to the other. Also, the flip side, don't stand by, right? Do not profit by the blood of your fellow Israel. It means basically don't stand by while your friend is being harmed. Don't hate your fellow man in your heart. Give rebuke and don't stand and don't and so like so all of these things don't take revenge. All right. So at the end of it, all what's at the heart of it is v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. You should love your fellow man like yourself. So that if we look at the Ten Commandments and you go through the Ten Commandments in Yisro, in Exodus, and you go to the Eschanan in Deuteronomy, and then in the middle is this incredible parasha of Kedoshim, and you were to line it up, and you take the time, and just like you start to see that what the Torah is doing here is it's a complete expansion of the Ten Commandments. And then once you understand that, it gets to be fun, because then you try to say, okay, if that's the model as to what's going on here, so then as we go through the parsha of Kedoshim, we start to say, okay, well, what would the story of, you can't mix things together, like here, you shall observe my laws, you shall not let your cattle mate with a different kind, you shall not sow your field with two kinds of seed, you shall not put on cloth from a mixture of two kinds of material. So why all of a sudden are mixtures of this sort going to be an issue? So then the question really becomes, so where does that fit in? If I have this general rubric, which is the Ten Commandments, so then as I go through Kedoshim, and I say, okay, what Kedoshim is doing for me is it's actually an expansion of the Ten Commandments, so then where does each one of these laws, each of these mitzvot, where does it fit? Okay, and then it continues on, so that it's for if you want to have this fun exercise as to see exactly how it all fits in, it's worthwhile. I think it's an extremely worthwhile exercise. But one of the things that brings us back, like for example, to answer this question of mixtures, so one thing that when we start out at the beginning here, the theme of Kedusha, of being holy, but of being distinct, to being separated. Right, so what Rashi says, separating from immorality, but the idea of having boundaries, right? So for us, that terminology of boundaries, and again, this just plays in, but I'll give you a theme, and then when you go back and when you read about the revelation, which we'll get a little bit of that when we come to the holiday of Shavuot. So one of the things that's pounded is that of boundaries. When God is setting up with Moshe the setting for the deliverance of the Ten Commandments, the way that Mount Sinai was set up was that not just once, but multiple times, Hashem makes it very clear to Moshe there needs to be proper boundaries set up. And so that as we enter the idea of Kedusha, of holiness, of things that are sanctified, boundaries are like critical. And then when we start to understand that, the idea of mixtures becomes clear. Like, okay, I get it. Now I understand. And so in a way also, this is where, for us, we have to, like today, today's society as people that are out in the world, out and about, the idea that the Jewish people are a mamleches kohanim v'gai kadosh, that we're a holy nation. So what we're being told is we need to be, in a certain respect, we need to have ourselves in a way separated from, and at the same time, when we separate from the other nations, we then can come back and impact the other nations. But Hashem is asking us, he's directing us to be a Goy Kadosh, to be, right as he says here, right? We see right here, oops, let's see if I go back here. So that when Hashem gives that message over to Moshe to convey to us right before the giving of the Torah, the idea here is to the right that you to Yulim Amlahas Kanam Gai Kadosh, being kingdom of priests and a holy nation, we're going to be Am Levadod Yishkan. We're going to be a nation that's going to have to be separated and on our own. But it's one of those things that if we do it properly, then we can go between the two of being that separate nation, but then being the Mamlechet Kohanim, to be able to, but it was Kohen's job, priest's job is to go out and to teach, to be able to influence, to have an impact in a positive way. So what Hashem is saying to us is, I want you to be these priests and also a holy nation. Holy, separate. Separate, and then at the same time, having that, being the teachers to the world, being the ones who are going to convey, to bring the message out into the world. And so when it starts the parsha here, and so what Rabbi Ginsburg was giving us this construct is that take the Ten Commandments, then come to Leviticus 19 to Kedoshim, and then start to see an expansion of many of the ideas. So like, let's say, for example, don't steal, don't this all the don'ts of the Ten Commandments. When you read it in Kedoshim, and it gives us more like specifics about what it means not to steal, or not to kill, or and then ultimately what it gets to is v'ahavta rechah kamocha, is that you have to love your fellow neighbor like yourself, that you love them the same way that you love yourself, you have to love them, that is really the underlying element of the teaching that Rabbi Akiva actually ended up telling us, that this is the major teaching of the Torah, because once you get that, all the other things kind of fall into place. And so when you see a parsha like this, and you see that it, you link it back to the beginning right before the first of the Ten Commandments, and then Hashem gives us that one line in there, it's like a statement that is now going to be brought into and expanded on. And then when we take the two and we play them back and forth, it gives us color. It actually expands. When we have this context, it gives us a greater appreciation for what's being said here. Because ultimately what we're being told is, here's what I want you to be. I want you to be holy. I want you to be a Mamlechas Kohanim Megai Kadosh. I want you to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And then, well, how do you do that? How exactly does that work? So first and foremost, you have the Rashi, approach. You got to separate from immorality. And then you have Ramban saying, you know what, it's not just enough to keep the laws. You got to take it to another level where you have to have like a certain sense of understanding that you can't, you have to be, there has to be a certain fineness, a special elevation that comes from this whole exercise. It can't be that you just take the letter of the law and then manipulate it to become like a glutton, you know? It's like, he could say, okay, I want to just spend all day eating kosher food and kosher wine, and no, it doesn't work that way. So Ramban saying kedosha means you gotta take it to another level. But when we take a step back and we look at this is the parsha that expands the Ten Commandments for us, and the point of the Ten Commandments was to get to this place of being a Mamlechas Kohanim Goy Kadosh, so this special, people that are going to be both on the one hand holy, separated, unique, but then to be a light unto the nation, so to speak, right? So that's the goal. And now, how do you get there? And so then, when you start going into this parsha and you start looking at the some of these ideas, like for example, right off the bat, what is the connection between, I guess, honoring or fearing your parents and the Shabbat? Like, how does that tie in? Like, we see it twice, three times really, see it in the Ten Commandments, the fourth and fifth commandments follow each other, right? Kavi, right? You say, here, keep Shabbos, and then honor your parents. Like, what's the connection between those two? Right? So, coming back here, like, and again, we see it again. So, like, clearly, the Torah is impressing upon us something, you know, that there is this deep connection between these two things. So, perhaps an idea, perhaps an understanding of this is that both honoring one's parents and Shabbos really is this idea of recognizing the importance of our connection to history, to that which comes before us. So our parents, we could just say, okay, you know, this is like the way of the world. You know, people get together, they have children. It's just the way things are. And, you know, no reason to give any special recognition to the people who brought us into the world. And so what the Torah is telling us is that no, you have to recognize that you come from somewhere. And therefore, you have to be appreciative. You have to show respect. You have, you know, tremendous obligations. But it's not something that we just write off, but rather there's a very important recognition of that, of what comes before us, that it's not all about us. It's actually showing us that we have it's necessary, it's important for us to ingrain within ourselves this respect for that which came before us. And so too, Shabbos is really what Shabbos, you know, when we stop to think about it, is recognizing the fact that this is the world that we live in didn't just happen, but rather we believe strongly that there was a beginning point and that there was a creation. And so that 6 days of creation was highlighted with the seventh day of rest. And so that when we keep the Shabbat, we're recognizing the fact that we didn't just, that what this world that we live in is not just here and now and all about us, but rather is this tremendous, tremendous precursor or a history that precedes us. And so that, in a sense, is, and so the two thematically are connected, and that it also is, in a sense, saying something more profound, and that is that if you want to understand the idea of being holy, to be holy is to also recognize that there's that much, that there's a God that's beyond our small little reality. There's a greater being that's beyond us. And so Shabbos, so you have the idea of parents, fearing one's parents, Kabbalah Sevicha, the idea of recognition of our parents, and then Shabbos, the idea of the history of the world that precedes us, I am Hashem, your God, all three are really 1, 2, 3 lined up because they all point to a greater reality that is beyond who we are in our small little world that we live in. And so, and then that ties into the idea of being able to be holy. So that part of being that nation of people that can be a kingdom of priests to bring this message, to be holy, because the holiness, the Kedusha that we're going to connect to is tied to this greater being, which is Hashem. And that's kind of what the line is saying here. Speak to the whole Israelite community and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, your God, Hashem, am holy. So the sanctity of this elevation that we can attain is clearly connected to, and we can tap into it when we recognize the fact that it's something that's beyond us, that's greater. But by being able to tap into that, that's where this all kind of derives from. And so that when you look at this rubric, so like when we come to this type of parsha, which seems to be like just a lot of stuff being thrown in, when you slowly like kind of peel it up open, first the patterns, the idea that you have two sets of the Ten Commandments, and this is in the middle, this the general, the middle, detail in the middle, the detail is going to open up and give us the real color of what the Ten Commandments are all about. And so like it's fertile for us to like, you know, okay, let me go deeper here, let's see what else is here. And then so, but what the idea of the directive of Kedusha, of God saying, I want you to be holy. So that Kedusha, really, even in the first line over here, of parents, honoring one's parents, recognition of what the parent, what our parents have done for us, and then the idea of Shabbos tied into it, and then the idea of Hashem tying into that as well, that gives us kind of a starting point of what it means to be able to become holy, and that ultimately, going back now to the statement or that line that precedes the first of the Ten Commandments of what we're supposed to, what's our goal, what's the end point here, is for us to be able to attain this idea of we're not just a chosen nation, but a nation that's supposed to become priestly and holy, priestly in the sense that we're going to now go out to the world and to share these important ideas, and at the same time be able to accomplish it because we're a holy nation, holy in the sense that we're connected to this, to a being, God, that is that much, you know, bigger and greater. And so you start to see these patterns. This is just like a taste of the patterns in the Torah, the detail of the Torah and how it's laid out, so that when you start to like kind of look for these patterns, it's another layer, and many layers of messaging that when as you go and you try to like uncover it, it starts to give us more and more appreciation for what God is trying to convey to us, to teach us, so that we each time we come at this, and you know what's interesting is it's like an amazing thing is that you take this text, which is, as we call it, the Torah Chaim, it's a living Torah, and then we are living, that when we put the two together, and we're constantly, like, you know, if you think about it, we every year we try to come back and we read these portions, it's going to be a different experience every time. We're going to find, discover new things, there are going to be new ideas that are discovered, that were basically imparted or planted there from the beginning of time when Hashem put together the Torah. And so that each time it's so dynamic. And so that there's a, you know, let's say I read Parshas Kedoshim many times, always wanting to see, you know, where the patterns, and then being able to see someone, you know, put together this idea of the connection to the Ten Commandments. Okay, I've heard that before, but then you start to look at some other lines that are giving, you know, like hints, kind of like keys to to putting together the puzzle. And then what comes out of it is certain very important ideas, fundamental ideas. So what it means to be holy, the fact that we're trying to be a certain, you know, caliber of person, you know, it's not just, you know, like to recognize we can do everything that we've directed and still not get the point of what it means to be a holy person, like Ramban is telling us. But that also, in here, you have much more color, much more depth to the Ten Commandments in terms of what's being imparted there. And so it's a starting point, but like you see, you know, here are a couple of the keys, and we're able to unlock certain things that are hidden. But then if we go back to it and we look at it, you know, more closely, the fact that, for example, it, you know, gets into, like, as you're doing your harvesting, you have to remember charity. So here today, we're not necessarily, you know, farmers and reaping and things of that nature, but it does say that the message is clear that as we do what we do vocationally, that it has to be done in a way that's going to give up charity. So if we donate time, we help others succeed in development and things of that nature. So it's an amazing message here. As we do our normal business, don't forget the poor. Don't forget those who are less fortunate or who can use help. You know, and so that's a clear message that's being imparted here in this line of how we go about harvesting. And then it continues. Don't steal, but the stealing is not just, don't be deceitful. Don't deal falsely. And then in there, it's like, you know, don't use God's name. Don't bear false testimony, or swear falsely, because that's profaning God's name. And then you see this idea of, you know, don't put a stumbling block in front of someone. Within the, you know, being straightforward, honest, of not stealing, and, you know, here again, we have an expansion of these ideas of, you know, don't go and bear, you know, don't lo toglach Rachel ba'amecha is a type of here lashon hara, but it's really kind of off the an extension in a sense of testimony, of how one would use how you spread the word, so to speak. And then really what's coming at the core of it is this line of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, right? Love thy neighbor like thyself. And then ultimately is ani Hashem. So if that statement, what it's saying to us, one of the ideas here is that we have to see the godliness in all in everyone. And so that when we understand the godliness, how special everyone is, then all these other things are outgrowths, but are give us the ability to understand how important it is. And therefore, here all of a sudden you see this tremendous expansion in the interpersonal relationships that the Torah is telling us. Like, it's so critical that we have to be so careful of how we approach others. So this is just, I thought this is like a kind of a nice teaser. But it's a beginning of how one would sit down and just like an exercise of like thinking how exactly this matches to the Ten Commandments, and in the process of doing so, of doing that analysis, that you'd be able to uncover additional things that are being messaged here. But this, I thought, was a good start of showing the patterns that we'll find in the Torah, going from here in Shemot Yitat, Pasuk Vav, right? So 19:6, where it tells about the idea we should be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and then bring it to this idea of Kedoshim. And that also, like, you see the pivot of how it goes in the book itself from the priestly commandments to then talking about how one becomes holy. So these are just cool, like very, interesting, fun ways of seeing the patterns, but that the patterns are very much tools to uncovering the messaging that is so important. And then it's fun to see, like, the different commentaries will analyze, will be able to see different aspects of these things, and that... That's the beauty of the depth of the Torah, the layers of the messaging that is there for us. Any questions?
It's incredible to me. I mean, I think this is, like, I think every uncoverer to me is amazing. Anyway, thank you. This was terrific.
You're welcome.
Very, very, very inspiring.
So I have a question. So as you were scrolling through a section of those, there were a bunch of things there that aren't necessarily in Ten Commandments, right? They're like underlying or supporting or different things, right? There was more than just 10 in one of those things, right?
Wait, so yeah, no, okay. So it's not a perfect, it's not, I would say like this, it's not a perfect exact science, but... take the model of using the Ten Commandments and then saying, here are the Ten Commandments. Now I'm going to go into Leviticus 19, the Parsha of Kedoshim. And I want to see how does each one of these things match up? Which would this go correspond to of the Ten Commandments? That's the exercise.
Well, it's not, it goes a little bit beyond that.
Okay.
Does that also help us construct the other commandments or mitzvot or things like that? In other words, is that all underlying in this?
Possibly. I'll say like this. It seems that, why do we make such a big deal? There are 10 commandments. There are 613 commandments. What do you mean there are only 10, right?
That's right.
Right? So it's very possible there are those that will approach it and say that, yes, you could take all 613 and match it into the and say that there's some aspect of each of those commandments in the 10. Right? So those would be like in a certain sense extensions of the 10. So each one, not to say again if it doesn't perfectly match, but in this parsha it's a good case study of like, you have this idea, don't steal. In this parsha you have you know, multiple things that will match up to the don't stealing. You know, here's my category, and underneath it, you have all these new things that are coming up. You know, don't kill. So, like, you know, don't be a fellow. Yeah.
So, in essence, what you're saying is this is the could in essence be the foundation.
Yes.
Of holiness or I mean, I always look at
the morality.
Not right. No, I always look at the Torah as a guide for living your life.
Correct. Correct. But it's also, I'll throw something else out to you. Besides her being moral, which is, you know, like the Ramban seems to be saying to us, like, you know, don't be a novel versus, like, don't use the, like, take, you could take the Torah and completely miss the message by taking everything, doing it the right way, and then still getting it all wrong, you know? But the other thing that's coming through here, don't miss out on this, is that there is the aspect of our relationship with God. Ki kadosh ani, because God's saying, I want you to be holy because I'm holy. Now, does that mean just I want you to be like me, like be like Mike, you know? Or is it no? It's saying no. There's something else here, and that is our aspiration is to become connected to God. That we want to, like, or even say in a way, you'll see this idea of a partnership that we're supposed to be working together with God. What does that mean? But in a sense, the idea that God is giving us this, he's laying out this game plan, so to speak, for us. And here, guys, here's what I'm, you know, do these things, that it's not just like, you know, like to use a crass, like, you go to SeaWorld and like the penguin does, you know, the trick and then you give him the fish. Like that, is that what we're doing here? We're supposed to be good penguins and good, you know, like a dolphin doing his flips and then getting a, you know, the reward. Is that what it's about? So the idea is no. It's like, it's a much bigger thing, is that we're trying to become, Hashem is giving us a roadmap of maximizing our potential. But also within that, when God says, I want you to be holy because I'm holy, in a way, there's certain mefarshim explain that it's God saying, I want you to be this way so that we can work together to develop this enterprise, which is called creation. So those are two very different ideas. And so that latter one is it reads better when you read if you go back to the text here and you read this, here, let me show you this again, just like, you know, and you can read into the words as it says, like here, you shall be holy for I am your God, Hashem, am holy, right? You should be holy because ki kadosh ani, Hashem Elokeichem, because I'm holy. So be like me, or be like me, or be holy with me, so that we're going to work together on this enterprise, and part of it, like, you're entering into that ability to work with me when you're like me. Not necessarily the same thing as just trying to emulate me, but it's a call to join in into this enterprise. And so that's, you know, and if you go into certain writings of the rabbis, going back to, you know, there's ideas where it says that Hashem, I mean, this is like straightforward, right? It's not a stretch. I'll read you this one line and you'll say, oh, interesting. The first of the Ten Commandments, God is identifying himself. I am Hashem, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. That's God identifying with the Jewish people, as opposed to saying,
that's not really a command. That's not really a commandment.
But it is. We look at it as the first of the commandments. You have to believe this. So that's the commandment.
Right, I see.
Right. But what's interesting is that God is saying, you know who I am? I'm the guy, I'm not the one who created the world. Much more impressive, I would say, I am Hashem your God who created the world. But it doesn't say that. It says who took you out of Egypt. Not to say that was a small feat, but it's clearly saying it's Hashem identifying with us. And so which is, by the way, we see that earlier on when God says to Abraham, he says, I am Hashem, God, I took you out of Ur Kasdim. So again, you see that God is identifying with us as opposed to other ways he could have identified himself, which is bringing us to this idea that there is this partnership that's being forged. And that's so that when God is saying, you know, Now then, if you obey my me faithfully and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples. Indeed, all the earth is mine, but you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Right? So that, again, bringing us back to this this idea of the connection of how strongly connected, the idea of kind of like this joint venture that we have. Okay. So that's in a nutshell. Any other observations or points?
No, this is great, Captain.
Good. All right.